WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. A leader of the violent Unite the Right rally is out of jail pending a trial. Democrats say they will change state law to allow local governments, including Charlottesville, to remove Confederate monuments. Meanwhile, Democrats in Richmond got busy on other measures, including the ERA, right to work, and gun control. This is the WMRA Daily for Friday, January 10th. Elliot Klein, an organizer of the violent Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville in 2017, has been released from jail. Klein was in jail since Monday after U.S. District Judge Norman Moon found that Klein had repeatedly failed to turn over records requested by plaintiffs in a lawsuit against him and other participants in the rally. Moon ordered Klein released on Wednesday, but said that Klein could face criminal contempt charges, quote, as a result of his contemptuous conduct to date. Klein was the leader of a white supremacist group called Identity Europa, a lawsuit brought by residents of Virginia injured during the violence in August 2017, accuses Klein and others of violating civil rights laws. A trial is scheduled for October. The white supremacist rally in Charlottesville in 2017 was a violent, hate-filled reaction to the city's unsuccessful effort to remove two Confederate statues. Democratic leaders pledged on Thursday to let local governments remove such monuments as Virginia wrestles with its Civil War legacy. Governor Ralph Northam unveiled multiple initiatives that he said were aimed at telling a more accurate and inclusive version of the state's past. That includes more funding for historic African-American cemeteries and cultural sites and the creation of new highway markers. Virginia Public Radio's Mallory Nopain has more on the proposed spending.
One site expected to get a chunk of that money is the Freedom House in Alexandria. Northam is proposing it gets almost $2.5 million. He's visited the Slavery Museum there and says it's eye-opening.
And just to think of how they used to bring human beings in and auction them off, it's just... I regret that part of our past.
The governor's proposed budget also allots $2.5 million to the Black History Museum in Richmond. Executive Director Adele Johnson plans to make the museum free for Virginia students and create a traveling exhibition.
We think that Black history is a part of America's history, so we want to make sure that everybody is aware. I think it makes everybody feel good to know that we have ancestors who, again, have done great things to move our country forward.
Additional money would help make an exhibit on slavery at Monticello permanent and expand Douthit State Park in Bath County to include land that was once a park for African Americans during segregation. In Richmond, I'm Mallory Nopain.
Democratic Delegate Lee Carter is sponsoring a bill that would repeal Virginia's right-to-work law, which makes it illegal for workplaces to require union membership. He says that keeps unions from effectively bargaining on behalf of workers. But that's not his only argument.
This law has been on the books in Virginia since 1947, and folks, it was racist from the start.
Carter says he hopes to use Democrats' commitment to removing racist laws from Virginia code, pointing to racist rhetoric used by the creator of Right to Work. Supporters of Right to Work say the law has created jobs for thousands of Virginians. The Equal Rights Amendment is advancing in the General Assembly, where Democratic leaders have pledged it will pass. A Senate committee on Thursday approved a resolution to ratify the gender equality measure that could become the next amendment to the U.S. Constitution. The vote was 10-5, with one Republican committee member, Senator Jill Vogel, joining Democrats in voting for the measure. The other Republicans, all men, voted against it. Even if the ERA is ratified in Virginia, a U.S. Justice Department memo this week said the deadline has passed for ratification. Democrats have a long list of gun control measures that they're hoping to pass this year, but Republicans have their own ideas about laws the General Assembly should enact, Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
Guns are not allowed in churches during services, at least not now. But Republican Delegate John McGuire wants to change that. He has a bill that would overturn that prohibition.
So I think that whether you're Democrat or Republican, I think it's a bipartisan issue because we should be able to defend ourselves. If you look at some of the strictest cities or towns with the strictest gun laws, they have the most gun deaths, and those victims have a right to defend themselves too.
But is adding more guns the solution? Democratic delegate Chris Hurst says no.
I continue to say that our focus should not be on having more of our citizens be armed, but rather trying to make sure that we can enact policies that take firearms out of the possession of those who may be a danger to themselves or someone else.
McGuire says the recent church shooting in Texas shows the need for more guns in churches, but Hurst says it shows the need for gun control instead. Reporting from the Capitol in Richmond, I'm Michael Pope.
House Democrats are proposing a new sexual harassment policy for their chamber. It would go farther than past rules, Ben Pavier with VPM News reports.
The new House rules would cover not only sexual harassment, but discrimination based on age, race, and gender identity. Democratic delegate Mike Mullen of Newport News is vice chair of the Rules Committee, which will hash out details of the plan.
So this is going to be the most comprehensive and, I think, best harassment policy that we've ever had.
Under a law passed in 2018, lawmakers and their staff must complete a sexual harassment training every 2 years. The new proposal would include a process for reporting and investigating claims. The rules would apply to legislative staff, but it's not clear if lawmakers will carve out an exemption for themselves. The proposed changes would not apply to the state Senate, which is governed by its own rules.
Ben Pavier with VPM News reporting. Every April, downtown Harrisonburg hosts a DIY music festival called McRock. It supports independent artists and musicians. McRock began more than 20 years ago as an extension of JMU's college radio station WXJM. The festival is now independently run by a small group of dedicated music lovers, including Grant Penrod. And he spoke with WMRA's Chris Boros about what makes McRock unique.
McRock is a two-day independent music festival that's been occurring annually in Harrisonburg since 1997, and it is a completely volunteer-run, do-it-yourself, nonprofit event. None of the people that put it on get paid at all. It's all done just for the love of music. It's all done to support independent music. So we're not focusing on artists that have major label contracts. These are artists that are either self-supporting or on small independent record labels, and the types of artists that tend to be up and coming in the music scene. The goal of McRock is to provide a spotlight for artists that are on their way to making it somewhere bigger.
It's interesting that you mention up and coming bands only, but we were looking through some of the past performers and there have been some pretty significant artists. Sufjan Stevens played this. I think we saw Animal Collective.
Yes.
Was this prior to them getting bigger or not?
Typically, McRock grew out of college radio. It had started at WXJM, which was JMU's, still is JMU's college radio station. And that really was a pipeline for artists who were coming through the college radio scene and who were starting to get regional exposure to national exposure. And so the goal of McRock was to try to identify those artists and to put on a festival that would feature them.
So what if some band came to you though, they're on a major label, they're a huge band and they say, we want to play McRock. What would you guys say?
We'd probably say no. I mean, we would think about it. And it's not, part of it is because it doesn't fit what we do.
Sure.
Part of it is just the logistics of that would be impossible.
So the next festival is in April.
That's right. It's always the first weekend in April.
Where at? What venue?
Lots of different venues.
Oh, okay.
We'll be in 6 to 8 venues.
Oh, cool.
Across downtown Harrisonburg. Every year we go back to the venues and reconfirm with them whether they're going to participate again this year. And we always get really good support from all the venues.
It is kind of an opportunity to see a band before they get big, maybe. And you could say, I remember when I saw this band and a little tiny club, and now look where they're at.
It definitely is. There are a lot of people that have that experience before anybody was there. And you got to see that band and, you know, sometimes with an embarrassingly small number of people.
Yeah.
If it's somebody who's just starting out and hadn't been heard yet, you can say, I saw so-and-so play at 4 o'clock in the afternoon in front of 25 people before anybody had heard of them. And I saw how great they were from the beginning.
If a band or a musician wants to apply, what is that process like?
So there's an application on our website, which is macrockva.org. And it's just a PDF file that you can download and fill out. We don't accept any electronic applications. They have to be mailed to us.
Do you only look at bands that are released on some type of label and have an actual album out, or can someone literally burn a CDR and say, here are my 3 songs?
Anybody at all. Hmm. Our listening process when bands apply is completely anonymous. So the committee will be in a room with the box of mail that has come full of applications One committee member who is not voting that evening is in charge of opening the application and discreetly putting the CD into the CD player. Nobody else knows what they're about to hear.
Oh, that's cool.
And then we all listen to it and assign it a score based on how much we like it, based on what it sounds like. If we recognize the artist, we're not supposed to vote. It's to keep us from voting for our friends. We just start keeping a list. And then when we get to the end of the application process, then we go back and start sorting.
And how many do you think you'll get this year?
We usually get a few hundred. I expect it to be the same this year.
That's a lot.
It is.
Have you ever gotten something and everyone in the room just goes, oh my Lord, this is amazing?
Yeah, we have. Sometimes you get that artist and whatever it is, either they've just got a catchy hook or something, but that everybody in the room is just really excited about. We get a couple of those bands every year.
Awesome, man. Well, hey, I'm looking forward to April. I didn't know much about this, so I'm definitely going to be there.
You should come out. Oh, it's a lot of fun. It's hard to not find something that you'd enjoy totally. Listening to.
Grant Penrod, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
McRock happens the weekend of April 3rd in downtown Harrisonburg. To learn more, visit WMRA.org or the WMRA app. And if you're a musician, you or your band can apply to play. The deadline is Wednesday next week. That's January 15th. Finally today, James Madison University's football team is making its fourth appearance in the national championship game on Saturday. North Dakota State will meet the JMU Dukes in San Francisco for the Football Championship Subdivision, or FCS, title game, formerly known as Division I AA. The Bison and the Dukes will meet in the national championship game for the second time in 3 years. JMU is 2-1 in title games, winning the national championship in 2004 and 2016, and falling just short in 2017 to North Dakota State. Go Dukes! For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Friday.